Hello, KCIW listeners, and welcome to Curry Cafe, where we put together a panel of volunteers and guests who discuss various topics from whimsical and fun to more serious subjects.
Welcome to another edition of Curry Cafe. My name is Ray Gary, and we are here in Brookings, the Curry Cafe, discussing just about whatever comes up. And today, we're going to be discussing, why is the country so divided? And we may not be able to fill the whole hour with this, so at the end of solving it in the first 10 minutes or so, well, I don't know what we'll talk about. But anyway, we'll start out today by going around the table and having everybody introduce themselves.
I'm Billy Federici, and I am a KCIW host and producer of my own show.
And I am Rick McNamer, volunteer and board member. And to my left is our special guest.
I'm Mike Greer, a candidate for state assembly for the state of California from Santa Rosa to the Oregon border, and a school board member in Del Norte County.
Okay. What we're talking about today is, why is our country so divided? And the division is primarily political. You know, in the past, it's been other things as well, but then some of the other things also go into the political part. So it used to be that if you were a Republican or a Democrat, you could still go to dinner, but it doesn't really happen much anymore, I don't think. It's the belief in your system is rabid, and you can't see anything different. And you wonder, how did this come about? Well, some of the ways it came about, of course, was social media, when I can go on the computer and send a message that's absolutely, totally nonsense, and somebody picks it up and says, oh, that's gospel. As an example, we have a thing here called community member or something like, and it's not Facebook, but it's a thing where people can put messages, and it's kind of designed for, does anybody know where I can get a good plumber? Or something like that. And lately it's turned very political. And a few months ago, and this was the same week that Fox was had to pay a $750 million settlement for lying. Not making a mistake, not doing something wrong, flat ass lying, and they couldn't even put their people on the trial to defend it. So that same week, on this good neighbor thing, somebody writes someone, if you want to know what's really going on the border, check with Fox News. So I would think that somebody who just paid that kind of a settlement for lying wouldn't be the place you'd go. And Fox News did not, they probably gained listeners or watchers or whatever.
Could I just tag on what you're saying about lying? The networks, I think many of the mainstream media, the 24/7, are entertainment networks. They're really not news anymore. In fact, I heard somebody on Fox say, it's okay to lie. I lie all the time. That's part of my job. I can't remember who it was. It may have been Tucker, but I don't quite remember who. But the basic idea is that they are not under oath. When they're talking on their station, the main idea is to get audience. They just want the ratings.
Rush Limbaugh did the same thing. Yeah, every 6 or 8 months or a year, Rush would quite intensely say something that was so outrageous that he made national news. And General Motors was dropping him, and this was dropping him, and everybody was dropping him. But he probably increased 5 million listeners by the people who had never even heard of them. And of course, all those advertisers came back again because it was just too lucrative. And you mentioned Tucker Carlson. He had to be something. He had to be entertainment. He certainly was not news. But he was also their top person.
Well, if I may ask Mike a question.
No.
To start out.
We don't want to let him talk.
And again, I want to thank Mike's the first GOP Republican that has accepted our invitation.
Yes.
And we really appreciate that.
I've been trying for about 6 years.
Yeah, turned down a lot. But anyway, Along with the political divisiveness and how we might be able to get along or change, I don't know. Well, Mike, you represent, or you are going to try to represent, a district with a lot of blue in it. Is that correct? So what's your opinion on, are there issues out there that you think we can kind of come together on right off the top?
I think as you look at what's happening in the country right now, you're going to find that you have on both ends of the spectrum, just like you have in the media, both sides aren't really giving the people the information that we used to get. I don't care whether it's a Democrat, whether it's a CNN, I don't care whether it's Fox, you're not getting all of that. And as I look at what's happening, as I knock on doors, because I do a lot of door knocking, even in this highly blue area that I have, it's like 51% Democrat, 22% Republican.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know it was that steep.
Yes, it is. And most of it is because of down in the Santa Rosa area and down in Sonoma County. But what I have found is that people in the middle want to discuss what's happening now. And that's why even in campaigning, I'm not running as a Republican. You know, I'm not doing a Republican-Democrat. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at quality of life. What's our life like? And do we have the freedom to attain those goals that we want to have, that type of happiness that we all deserve? And that's the kind of campaign I'm having with it, is that very thing. But we see a lot of, you know, people going back and forth on it. Arguing. Good example is you can take a look at some of the down at Cal Poly Humboldt, where they have just now decided they might not even have a commencement because of the protesters that are on campus.
That's a shame.
And they're not allowing any students to go ahead and go to classes. They're canceling everything because you have a few hundred students that have stopped the education of all the other students.
And let me comment on that, too, because I actually saw a program that I watch all the time called Headline Humboldt for the P. I don't know if you're familiar
with
that.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay. And they showed exactly that. I mean, protesting, it all, I don't know if it started in, that's why I think of about the 60s and all of that turbulent stuff.
It was way before that. There's been protests back to World War One.
Yeah, I guess in modern day protests, say that. But anyway, they showed video. The protesters were in there battling the police, trying to hit the police. I just think if you're going to, that kind of protest bothers me. Let me just say that. I think that's, if you disrupt classes like that, protesting, if you're going to stop a major, be on a major highway where people are trying to conduct business, maybe going to a doctor's appointment, going to the politicians, if you will, their homes, or if they're out today, I just think those are kind of deal breakers to me.
I agree on the going to the home, so I don't think that should happen, or you shouldn't be giving out politicians' home phone numbers or things like that. But I grew up in New York, and when we protested, it was protesting. If the people who operated the bridges, the drawbridges, went on strike, 4 o'clock they opened the bridges and went home. That's the kind of protest we did, and we were not fooling around protesters. But if it's something you feel as strongly about as these people do, and I can certainly understand why they do, you got to make a big stink. You can't just walk around with a sign. You have to get attention. That's what they're trying to do, and by being as nasty as possible.
Well, and that's one of the problems. That's why we have the different ends of the people, all the people going against each other, or because of situations like that. I believe in, you know, legal protest.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I don't believe in the violence. I don't believe in, you know, coming out and telling everybody that, you know, we're going to kill everybody, you know, and blocking people of all different religions, different races, whatever, from going to class. That's not the type of protest. And I think what's happening, in fact, I'll be coming out with a major statement here within the next day that basically says, you're losing people. You're losing those people that might support you because of what you're doing. You 200 students stopping 1,000 kids from graduating after putting all that time into it. And I have a problem with that.
Excuse me. They're still going to graduate. There just won't be a commencement exercise, right?
Well, you know, they can graduate, but if you spent 5 years going through school or 6 years, which like a lot of them do,
yeah,
and they want to go across that, and their parents who paid for it, of course, nowadays we have so much that the parents don't have to pay for, you know, they want to see that too. You want to have that height. It's just like going through high school graduation. I mean, now, you know, you get preschool kids graduating.
I know.
Oh, I've been there too.
You have all those. Well,
you're talking to somebody who didn't go to his high school graduation.
I don't go to those.
You know? No, well,
I did. To me, I don't go to those graduations.
I know.
But it's something that's there that should be there. USC has canceled their graduation. You got a lot of, you know, feedback on that. You got major companies pulling out of Columbia because of the things that are going on. Because I don't think that it's being handled right. And the protesters are not just a group of people, it's highly organized. And I think what needs to be done is state your point. Don't threaten other people. Don't stop them from doing their daily lives.
But they're protesting the fact that their people are in a lot of trouble and are being killed, bombed, all sorts of things. Babies, there's lots of bad stuff on the other side. This is not unlike Vietnam.
Not a lot of this. And I understand completely what you're saying, but the fact is, I haven't heard the Jewish people come out and say we're going to commit genocide against the Palestinians.
They don't say it; they just do it.
It's the opposite. They're the ones that want to do genocide against Israel and the Jewish people.
And you know, it's interesting because this conflict, it's a microcosm of the macrocosm across the world. People who believe that they're better than somebody else are always in a conflict. And one of the problems I see happening is that, I mean, I am not going to envision that happening in our country, but if we can't learn to talk reasonably and listen to our own voice of reason and be able to allow somebody to speak their mind without radically attacking them. That a friend of mine wrote a book, and I'm just going to call this out because Lisa Swall is her name, and she started a nonprofit called Crossing Party Lines, and she wrote this textbook called Yes, You Can Talk Politics. It has really good exercises in here about the basics of the brain and how if we grow up or if we listen to radical views too much, we will proliferate radical views. If we listen to our voice of reason, we will proliferate the voice of reason. So
that's true. One of my things is that I will never tear an individual down to make me bigger or tall or stronger. Mm-hmm. That's not how it happens. It happens from within, not by tearing other people down.
I've had it happen to me, and it's not good. Yeah.
And let me say again, I, in defense of Mike, don't really have to defend him, but I get the triplicate, and I read Kevin Hendricks, who's the Democrat.
Good friend of mine.
Perfect, because he mentioned you in the last article as you are one of the ones that he seems to can talk to without getting crazy. And that's where we're at right now, I think, in a lot. Too many crazies on going yelling at each other. But I just wanted to give you that little bit of credit, too. It was good to read that. And I thought, oh, well, it's even better he's going to be here this weekend.
Kevin and I talked on Friday at the Economic Summit, actually, about the article.
Okay.
Particularly about the part that he said that I believe that I couldn't win.
Oh, and okay.
I told him, you know, that's not really what I believe. I wouldn't be running and putting my own money into my campaign if I didn't think I could win.
Right.
So I've actually addressed that in a letter to the triplicate that you'll be able to read next week.
Well, I'll look forward to that.
Okay.
Kevin and I get along really well. You have to. You on the school board, we have both Democrats and Republicans, okay? You need to have different people because not everybody has the same ideas. Whether you're a Republican, you're not going to have all the right ideas. Democrats, you're not going to have all the right ideas.
Exactly.
Let's get together and decide and discuss it. And that's what's the problem with the protests is that they're stopping it. A lot of the places you can no longer have that civil discourse on university campuses.
Yeah, and I like I said, I admit when I saw that, I don't get sympathy for that group of protesters. Let me just say that. That's just how I viscerally felt. I thought, how can I support that? At the same time, what Israel is doing, and that's I'll focus that on the Netanyahu part of that. It's ridiculous. It's gotten way out of control. What's the sense of all that mindless, senseless bombing and killing?
Mm.
But anyway, that's when I saw the protesters, it just didn't register with me.
But
that's,
you can see where they're coming from. I mean,
yes, I can. But again, it's hard for me to sympathize with people that are acting. It was a bit violent. From what I saw.
Yeah, and it's not as violent here as it has been on the East Coast. It's been even more violent. I'll be right up front with you. I actually authored a letter that condemned the Hamas attack on Israel, that I condemned it. I didn't condemn the Palestinian people.
Right.
Because most of that is not it. And I think that's what you're going to
find.
There's
a difference,
I mean,
yes.
It's just like in the United States.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea that old men get to send young men to war.
Yeah.
I've never agreed with that. Okay. And you know, so I think it's the same thing is happening, is that the Palestinians are being grouped with Hamas.
That's
and
true.
Hamas wants it that way. And that's now true. As these protesters are starting to say, yes, we are Hamas. That's a problem.
Well, I hadn't heard that. And if they're saying that.
They are.
That is very disturbing, because Hamas is the radical terrorist organization. They're not the Palestinian people.
Exactly. They were
put in charge of Palestine by who? Netanyahu.
They had to know that what they've started is exactly what was going to happen. You don't mess with Israel, because you know you're going to get
it was like a bait
hard, thing. Twice as hard.
Yeah. We could go on with that issue. That's huge. That's a world issue. I wrote down a couple others that I thought maybe these are where Republicans and Democrats, I think, feel that they want to tackle in different ways. The economy and jobs, biggie.
Each one, by the way, is claiming they're doing a better job than the other one was.
Well, again, and then we, as the hoi polloi, whatever you want to call us, we have to figure all that out.
Yes.
But it's pretty crazy. And again, I put terrorism, and I included both world terrorism and the terrorism we have.
Domestic.
Domestic, thank you. Domestic terrorism. And then healthcare. I think, we're all concerned about all of these issues. I'm sure we have different methods of attacking them or going after them. But does that sound about right to you, Mike, with the Republican?
I think there's a few more things on there too. Education is a big one.
Huge.
Yeah,
right now.
True.
And as an educator, I look at it and see what's going on. And I find that throughout, Northern California in my travels, is that there are a couple different issues. One is education and the parents' right with the school boards to protest that they're not being able to do.
Okay.
And a lot of people talk about book banning. Book banning, I will never, ever support.
No.
Thank you.
Ever?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do I believe in appropriate books? Depending on the student? Absolutely.
Okay.
But there also has to be a way that, the student really wants to do it. Well, maybe the parent can sign something for the student to be able to read that book.
But they've been doing that for years.
Yeah. Well, that's it. But now it's changed a lot.
What about the idea in they have in Florida, which I somehow can't help but believe that this is being done to further this guy's name or something, where he can't talk about slavery and things like that because we don't want to make the white kids feel bad that 200 years ago.
So as a teacher, squashing history.
Why are we covering that? In Germany they do just the opposite.
Let's teach it.
That's just what they do. They teach about the Nazi movement.
Okay. The big thing right now is you hear CRT. Okay. How are you teaching the critical race theory?
Okay.
But that's not being taught in the lower levels.
And you're hearing that. In California, we don't have CRT.
They don't in Florida either.
We have ethnic studies, and there's actually a curriculum you can look at.
And
part of that curriculum is very just VISEV.
But that curriculum is designed for law students in graduate school. That's not something.
Have they just taken CRT on to regular race training?
No. Critical race theory is a theory by which you begin to look at the history in depth. And just like you're approaching a novel, you know, when I'm teaching a novel, I want to get in depth and do a critical analysis of that novel. That's what critical race theory is. It's studying history in a critical depth.
That's the definition of it, but it's not the reality. Okay, I believe in reality.
I don't know.
See what has been taught and what it is. You can actually get on in California, you can get on the website, and there's a curriculum. As you go down through that curriculum, there are certain sections I question on it. Now, one of the things that I was a California Teachers Association Union president in over a 5-county area for it. And as people know, it is on the, you know, getting to be further and further on the left.
Mm-hmm.
But as a Republican, I was able to talk with them and do those things that need to be done with it. And social justice is becoming a big thing in education. And they don't want to see all of this. Do we need to teach the true history? Absolutely.
Yes.
There's no question about it. I'm in the process right now as a school board member in Del Norte. We're going to be renaming a school down in Klamath, which happens to be my district that I represent, Margaret Keating School. We are changing the name of that school and hopefully be able to make it into a cultural and environment school down in Klamath, because 75% of the students there are Native American and the school's on reservation land.
Right.
Mm. Let's change that. Let's go ahead. So we're going to, you know, looking at different names right now to go ahead and change it. So by the beginning of the year, we'll be able to do that.
That's commendable.
Because you need to teach the culture, good or bad, needs to be taught.
Absolutely.
And
the only way you maintain pride in the culture. Yeah.
And it's the only way you can avoid having historical catastrophes happening again.
Exactly.
Only if you teach that history and the cultural of that history.
It does.
Yeah.
I was talking to a tribal member yesterday down at the grand opening of the new tribal gas station, Fuel Mart, down in Birch Track, down at Elk Creek Casino.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I was talking to one of the leaders for the tribes, and we were talking this very thing about culture and what you're talking about, Rick. And I said, you know, I understand that. Yeah. And one of the reasons I do is just I'm a Mormon, belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and as I look at the history of our church, how we were driven, you know, from New York to, you know, Ohio to Illinois, you know, and finally out to Utah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I understand some of that. Do I understand the same that, you know, it's the same thing that happened, you know, to the Native Americans, but not on the same degree with it. So
but
I understand the importance of culture.
It's
and
a good
we
parallel.
Need to do that.
That is a good parallel.
No problem. I think education should teach that.
Yeah.
And not try to ban it. You know, there's going to be good and bad. And it's that simple. Right. And you need to teach them both.
Yeah.
And back to the CRT, that's kind of got bastardized, if you will, over there.
They've really
taken that, to me, to the extreme. Like, they don't want to teach any of that culture, if you will.
Well, teach so that a lot of the slaves learned a career that they could use after slavery.
K through 12, especially education, is what I had also. That's a big deal.
It's huge.
One of the very important issues. So how do private schools come into that? I mean, if you want to send your child to a private school, that's certainly your right. But should now K through 12, if I'm right, is pretty much funded through the government a lot.
Public
Absolutely.
Schools.
We're government employees.
But should private schools be partly funded by the government?
But that'd be vouchers?
I would say no.
I would say no too, but Mike might have a different opinion.
If private schools are funded by the government, they have to abide by public school law.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. And each state, the laws in Oregon or Washington are different from California.
Oh.
So there's all different variations of how things need to be done. Because education is my number one platform in my campaign.
That's huge.
Okay.
So tell me then, Mike, how I didn't realize that some private schools could be funded by the government. I had no idea. I thought private meant private because the parents pay.
Yeah. Now,
so what?
A lot of people will take a look at charter schools and private schools and consider them the same thing.
No,
and they are not.
No, they're different.
Okay. A charter school is a public school.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and they do get funded by the government. Should they have to do the same things that the public schools do? Yes, they should. And those laws apply to them. There's a lot of different things. When I was in Paradise, we had five charter schools in our small district.
Wow, okay. That's amazing.
Well, we had five. But I am for school choice, whether it's charter or whatever. And the reason I am, I like competition. If somebody has found a better way to teach our students so that they can learn, well, maybe we should copy that and put it into our own system so that the students benefit. We actually saw charter school kids come back to our district because that's what we started to do. What is it that makes people choose that? Okay, why did they choose homeschooling? California lost over 400,000 kids. They didn't know what happened to them. A lot of those went to homeschooling. It's huge because they don't like the safety that is not there. Santa Rosa in the high school, they had a student killed in an art class, knifed.
Ooh.
Okay. So you see a lot of these issues going on with parents. So that's why you're seeing a lot of that. And so there are different restrictions for charter schools. Again, according to state, it's different. It's just like teachers' unions are different. Mm-hmm. Whereas our teachers' union is very localized. It's Del Norte Teachers Association. You get up to, say, Oregon and Washington, especially Washington, the teachers are paid by the state. In California, they're paid by the district.
That's right.
Okay, and that makes a big difference. Because what happens is you have all this union organizing and union problems because you're always fighting over money and health benefits. In these other states, you don't have that locally because it's on a statewide basis.
And so there's a difference in different states. I remember when I was teaching in Colorado, we had site-based management. Every school was just like a little insular government all in their own. And our charter schools were set up, like one was an art school focus, one was dance focus, one was theater focus. We had a lot of charter schools in Denver.
They do. Charter schools have that ability to do it and that they can focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that maybe our other public schools should have that same ability.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good...
And they need to take a look at some of that. Why is it? And do it. But not right now, the biggest issue I see with the schools is the safety issues.
And discipline.
And discipline. For instance, right now, when we were growing up, a teacher in third grade can say, well, you know what? You don't get any recess because you didn't do your work, but as soon as you finish your work, you can go to recess.
Mm-hmm.
There's a state law in California that says you can't do that.
Oh, my God.
You automatically go whether you finish it or not.
Oh, see, that's undermining education. That's undermining the teacher.
Well, what has happened in the last 6 years is that local control for education is being taken away.
Yeah.
Okay, it's taken away from the elected school board officials. And the state is passing statewide laws without giving us the money even to take care of it. They're mandating certain things, not giving us the money to do those things. And so there's a lot of things like that that's happening. And that's one of the things that we need to do is get that local control.
So you're talking now probably about things that I don't imagine causes divides.
Oh,
which is what we're here for, to find out why I don't even want to have you in my house because you're a Republican type.
Well, I know, but think about the divide that's caused within the school itself. I think it is sort of on track with that topic. Maybe not political per se.
It is.
But it is.
I was just in Santa Rosa at a school board meeting. I go to school board meetings wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of exactly what you're talking about between those that would like to see school resource officers in schools to help with safety and those that don't. And they were down there and they're protesting. So there's a lot of it, but it depends on location with it. So you see a lot of stuff like that. And people don't go together. They won't come together and discuss it. Okay? They just get on one side, and people get on the other side, and they don't sit down and say, well, what is a solution then?
It seems like you have nationally now one side that is more or less promoting discord by throwing out sometimes ridiculous things. I think we're so used to Trump saying ridiculous things that we don't pay attention to them much. But I mean, this man quotes Hitler on a regular basis. His favorite leaders in the world are strong leaders like Putin and China and North Korea and all this stuff. Yeah. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm going to be a strong leader like that. And he has already said we need to revisit the Constitution. So a lot of that is stuff that he says to attract his base, I guess. But then he does things like the Gettysburg Address thing he did the other day. I'm sure you must have seen that.
I've seen a lot of it. I've seen a lot of it taken out of context on the left.
Well, this wasn't taken
Quite
out
frankly,
of context.
I've seen a lot of things. When you talk about the Republicans throwing things out, it's the same thing is happening on both ends. Both ends of the, whether it's Democrat or whether it's Republican, they're throwing it out. The people are caught in the middle, okay? And that's one of the reasons that there is a lot of discourse, because the people in the middle don't know what side to go to because of the things thrown out by the Democrat Party that aren't true, things thrown out by the far-right Republicans that aren't true. And so the people don't know what to do.
Well, this was something, Gettysburg thing was...
Too many times we concentrate just on what we believe and don't want to talk to anybody else.
That's it.
Because your view is where it is, and my view is where it is, they won't come together. Why I'm going to win my election, is because I'm bringing these people together.
Those views come about by people doing things.
Or not doing things, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not at all uncommon for Trump to do something he did in this Gettysburg Address. He talked about, it was a horrible battle, and there was this and that, and there were a lot of blood and a lot of the, but in some ways it was kind of beautiful too. And then he's talking about Lee, who, have you noticed, is no longer in favor, telling him, you can't fight uphill, lads, you can't fight. Just ridiculous stuff that he was making up off the top of his head, which he does frequently, that make no sense.
It's kind of like President Biden?
No.
What,
he's never done anything even close to that.
Uncle's being eaten by cannibals?
Or what now? What was that?
Well, that's a plausible story.
He said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals.
Wait a minute. Now, you talk about taking out of context. His uncle was a pilot in World War II. Crash landed in an island that was inhabited by cannibals, and his body was never found. He said it's possible that he was.
You got that
story from Fox News, obviously.
We're going to be disagreeing on some of this, and this is why we need this type of discussion. I can take what Biden says and give my impression. You can do what Trump says. But the fact of the matter is, we need to decide, what can we talk about that brings people together?
What I wanted to comment about those two particular stories, that they're anecdotal stories that have nothing to do with each other. They're apples and oranges. It's like,
or they're policies.
Well, Trump is famous for that.
Well, but what the whole idea is, that why bring up stories in a conversation? I mean, I'm not questioning why. I'm just throwing this idea out that if we're going to have anecdotal stories about some particular personality or the other, that's not the broad politics.
No, that's
personalities
not.
Personalities are not the broad politics.
Yeah, that's not what changes people's minds, stories about cannibals.
And Mike,
when you literally quote Hitler, that changes people's minds, and that's not.
It's not anecdotal.
It's not fun. It's not anything.
I think what it does is it just gives those people permission to feel the way they have always felt and say, yes, I'm vindicated because I hear it from some other person.
And it also influences people who don't have an opinion or don't know anything about it. When I say that he quoted Hitler, a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's because they haven't been paying attention. I think noticing what's going on in the world is a good idea.
Yeah. And Mike, you talked about the middle. I don't see a middle anymore. I was writing down, well, I used to think about a third party. I thought, well, I might go to a third party, but there's been no viable third parties to me that would actually make a difference. Okay.
So not such Perot.
Yeah. Not.
Yeah, and yeah. I was really a big Perot fan, but that's okay. But
he had a viable third
party. Oh, I agree. And then, so the independents and the moderates, where are they? I just don't think there are too many out there anymore. I thought I could remain one, but I'll be honest, I'll have to say the Trump presidency kind of threw me off of that. But where I thought the big division started happening, this is my own opinion, is when Reagan made a pact, I thought a pact, with Jerry Falwell, the Christian nationalist of his day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the church and the state and the religion became a big part of the Republican government.
That's when I stopped being a Republican, by the way.
Oh, well, there you go. So any tendency, but that was the beginning. But I thought Trump was the definite icing on the cake and the gasoline on the fire. But and that goes back to education, church and state. It seems to me they're trying to sneak some religion into schools at times, even posting the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm throwing that one out there. Let me just say this.
Some schools
back are. To where you were talking about, let's teach about culture. I think we should teach about religion, teach about it. There's religion a big part of this country. If they had just teaching about it, that's one thing, but don't promote any certain religion.
And I don't disagree with that at all.
Okay.
But it all needs to be taught because it's all part of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that.
It needs to be it that.
Is. I get
but,
a lot
but
of...
you're saying you're starting to see some of these come in. But what you're seeing also is the other radical side come in, where in Oakland, they have a big issue in education down there, and the parents are really upset because all the teachers went there and told all their third through sixth graders that the Palestinians are, being harmed for, that they need to go and get rid of the Jews, and Israel. And they taught these in school. So they're bringing those political philosophies into school.
Who is
and it was that? Actually brought out at the Oakland School District. And there's actually some other cases going on.
What teacher, where did that come from?
Because there was a group of...
radical?
I'll say radicals, far left, were teachers that wanted to do it. And it's really interesting because when they started doing it, I found out that California Teachers Association, one of their conferences, where the Palestinians came out, was coming up against everything, but yet, whereas a lot of the Hamas and so forth, they don't believe with LGBTQ stuff. And so they actually got in arguments, saying, mm-hmm. You're supporting this, but look what they do to us. Look how they treat women. Look how they do all these things. And so because of this type of thing, you're seeing a lot of different things happening in education.
Interesting.
And I spend a lot of time going over education, even now. I do a lot of it. I've lobbied both in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento for education, so forth. So I see what's happening. But you're getting both sides. You're getting a little bit. And I think it's in reaction to everything else that's coming in.
Oh, now, I'm sure.
Do I believe in the Ten Commandments? I believe in those commandments as a way of society. Maybe this is how you should treat other people.
Well, I'm
looking at it that way. But does that mean I'm going to teach each one individually? No, those principles are what we
need to
teach.
Every religion in the world.
Should they be in public spaces, though? Like a school.
Not
or a court.
What happens if you change the order, change the wording? They're already there.
They're already there.
They're already in there. You're talking about schools. They're talking about respect.
Yes.
They're talking about kindness. They're talking about those things. It's just different wording.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
I'm not a religion expert, but
every religion.
Isn't there one about honoring your mother and father or something?
But
like
every
that?
Religion in the world has those tenets of good behavior.
Suppose.
The fellow who wrote that book about do what you're taught in kindergarten has those same tenets of be kind to each other.
Agreed.
It's a religious document, a religious thought, and it should not be in the public schools.
I don't think anybody's disagreeing with that.
Oh, okay.
But yet you're seeing with...
You know how to shut me up, don't you?
but you are seeing special places for people to pray in schools.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
and I'm really
for Muslims,
that.
You know, a lot of places are doing that. They're taking the time to do
that
it.
That doesn't belong in the school.
So you are seeing that in schools,
yeah,
especially on the university levels.
They get well, universities is a different thing.
But prayer in schools, well, I'm not for that, especially if you got to set some special standard for this. No, if you want to pray, you do it at home or in your church,
okay,
in my opinion.
It depends on the prayer. Before a lot of our gatherings, we just had one in Smith River, a gathering, and we had a Native American said a prayer. Everyone I go to, we say it. We, you know, thankful. Our gods might be different. Should we tell everybody this is who you have to pray to? No, absolutely not.
If you want to go ahead and pray,
you want to pray to, you know, your particular god, whatever it is.
Well, sure.
That's your, you know, and that's fine with it. We cannot, as a society, say you have to do it this way.
Correct.
And that's where some people are pushed really hard. In public places, you can't really push all of those things. And it shouldn't be, because you have a populace that are of different religions, different faiths, different ethnic.
Or my favorite, no religion.
Or no religion at all. And you have a lot of them.
And
that,
okay.
And that no religion kid feels a little put out when everybody else is praying.
Like, okay.
But when the coach for the football team says, you can come if you want to. Right. Yeah, sure.
Well, I know, I played football, and I know. I didn't even, being not a religious person, I didn't think about it. I just joined in the prayer, the football, whatever. But go back with the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, I said it by memory in grade school, grammar school. But the older I got, I thought, why did they throw God in there?
They threw that in when I was in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
It was
1957. We were all at an assembly. I was in the seventh grade. And it was a big deal. They said, we're adding this into the Pledge of Allegiance. And I couldn't quite believe it as a seventh grader.
I think the reason they added it and is still there is the fact that when you look at the foundation of the country and the fact that when they came over here, God was such a big part of it. Has the country changed since back then? It has.
Considerably.
But that's why it's
that's
there.
That's why.
And, you know, I have no problem saying under God. But when I say God, I mean, to me, it's this one, you know. Maybe to somebody else, it's their God.
Yeah.
But it's the Pledge of Allegiance to whoever it is. And I think too many times when we talk about God is that we specifically refer to, you know, to me as my Father in heaven, okay? To somebody else, it's going to be somebody different.
Yeah.
And it's been that way throughout history.
To a lot of people, God is, like, and I grew up as a Christian Scientist, and my father always said that God was Mother, Father, God. So then he said, just look at Genesis. It starts out, we create, who's this we?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're trying to put in our own interpretations on what that God means.
There's been a lot of abuses over the years on this.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing God in. You know, we had
that's part of the problem.
You mentioned Native Americans a couple of times here. I mean, well, we had to make them all Christians. I lived in Alaska for a long time. And not long before I got there, the BIA used to just come in and take kids because they shouldn't be living as Eskimos. We're going to make them into white people. And a lot of that was in the name of God.
That's right. And I had that discussion yesterday. That we had actually talked about that, because when I grew up, there was an Indian school where they brought him in and forced him to come to our schools. And that was normal.
We're not allowed to speak the native language there.
That was pretty horrific.
It was horrific. Yeah. We have a horrific history.
Are you aware right now, though, in Del Norte County, we actually teach the Yurok language from K-12.
Oh, yeah.
To high
I saw
school.
An article about
we are
that.
Now starting to teach the Talawa language also, besides Hmong.
That's a great idea. You know, in Alaska.
Doing it, and that's what we're doing. We've been doing it for
positive.
A number of years. Absolutely it is, to teach those cultures, let people get reinvested in their culture. It's essential.
In Alaska, for a long time, the young people around my age, not young people anymore, were almost embarrassed by what they called the old ways, and they really weren't. They weren't learning the language or anything. And then there was a re-immersion, I guess, in what, early 80s, to where they were taking pride, and all the old ladies were teaching the kids how to spread water skins and things like that. And now they're all learning their languages, and it's changed a whole lot.
I think that's great, especially for the younger ones to really be prideful of their heritage.
Yes, yes. And like Mike said, that Del Norte County with the Yurok, the Talawa, the Kurok. My tribe is from the Central California area, but that's okay.
But teaching that culture, necessary, and it should be that way. Yeah. That's where we're trying to change Margaret Keating to that.
That's really great. That's awesome.
That's a very good point. Before we run out of time too much, I wanted to bring another issue I thought that we could we have come together a little bit, and that's this Ukraine mess and supporting them. That's a lot of government dollars. I feel those dollars are well spent because I think Putin mostly is a problem for the world, and I think we should be backing that.
Yeah.
Now, the part of the Republican Party was against that for a while. It was a small minority, I'm pretty sure, and I was shocked that they were stopping that.
Because for some reason or other, we have to please Putin these days.
That's a weird thing,
President Kennedy.
It is weird.
Republicans and Democrats agree that Putin's a bad deal and Ukraine needs to win that battle or war.
I think the issue isn't so much that as is what happens to that money, where it goes there, because we know, we don't have the control.
Military money, always a portion of it gets pissed away. Always.
And that's the problem. That's the same thing with nonprofits in the United States.
Yeah.
But money, we can't take the time to ration out bullets to a tank when there's a war going on. This money's going to be wasted, and that's just the way it is. People will abscond with it. You give a 19-year-old a gun, he's going to kill people, good people. That's all stuff that happens in wars. You can't sit back and nickel and dime and say, but they're going to waste a lot of it. No.
But
they need it now, and they need to keep it. Russia needs to be stopped.
Ukraine is getting our leftover equipment. We're not spending a whole lot of money. We're just sending them leftover equipment.
But billions of dollars worth.
It's billions of dollars.
And I don't know that I agree with that leftover equipment, because we know it is enriching our arms industry.
That's another reason.
But we do need to stop Russia. One of the things about me, I've got five kids, and one of my kids actually is an international attorney in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
And he actually helped write the trade agreements with China.
Wow.
And the Canadian and Mexican-American treaties.
That's cool.
He was chief of staff under the Trump administration for Ambassador Lighthizer.
Oh.
His was bipartisan because he worked with both of them, both parties for those trade agreements.
Okay.
With it. And so I'm very much aware of a lot of the different trade things that are going on and the different issues that you're talking about, and how does it affect it. If we're not in war, we have a section of our economic group that is losing money.
Yeah.
Okay. The military industrial complex.
Absolutely.
In the past, the military has been given.
Yep.
10 years ago, the Air Force was given jets that they didn't even want, but their senator got that contract to get the jets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to look at.
Military industrial complex.
Yeah. Military industrial
complex. Unfortunately, when it comes to politics, how many of our politicians go to Washington with middle class incomes and then come back millions, billionaires? Because of the lobbyists industry.
Is that what's keeping
these people who know Trump is dangerous and not good? Is that what's keeping them so loyal to him? I saw Bill Barr interviewed day before yesterday on CNN. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Bill Barr has been complaining about Trump, and Trump's been complaining about Bill Barr, and Bill Barr's there like he's a good old boy, and don't believe all that blustering and stuff, because there are people that keep him under control. A lot of people voted for him because they thought that the stuff he was saying was just nonsense and he would never really do that. And I think there's a lot of people now thinking that he won't really join in with Putin, or he won't really...
He never did.
He's talking about
Russian hoax was presented not by him. He's the one that stopped it. That war in Ukraine would not have happened if he was the president.
Why do you say that?
Well, it's just the opposite, because they look at Joe Biden, and this is where I get going up and down the road, is weak, because they don't do anything, whether it's on the southern border or whether it's Ukraine.
I
get it. It depends on where you're getting news from.
Where you're getting your information.
Okay? And listen to CNN. I listen to these different things. I look at all the different ones because it, you know, and then I do some research with it. And so what's really taking place? And, you know, how many times has CNN been caught out on lies? Constantly. Rachel Maddow, constantly.
Oh, no, Rachel is.
Oh, yes.
I will defend Rachel Maddow.
And this is why there's so much, you know, problems in the United States, is because we have these talking heads on both sides.
Yep.
We don't have that true information, because the media itself is very left. I cannot even get my name into the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Okay.
My new paper, but.
Yeah, okay. I cannot even get my name in there. Because I'm a Republican.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that's not right.
I see that, yeah.
Okay. But it's also
common.
Okay, but the media, journalism, I'll go Trump and his minions, they've started to make the media the big enemy, fake news. And I just don't see, it's not the same maybe as what it was, but come on, man. That, I still think it's an honorable position to try to get the story told.
Well, how many stories are not told correctly that they have to retract?
Well, you just said that Putin wouldn't go into Ukraine if Trump was president.
I don't believe he would.
No, that's my personal opinion.
I think that's some misinformation, right?
But Putin,
he would have helped him. Trump is saying we'll give him Ukraine.
Do you forget what happened? He went into Crimea. And in 2014, and then he stayed there, and then they replaced.
Who was president in 2014?
I think it was still Obama, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then Trump came in, and Trump didn't do one thing to help.
Well, why didn't Obama take care of it then?
Well, why didn't the?
I don't know.
this is the thing. We don't know. We don't know where the money is coming from. We don't know where it's going.
Well, yeah, you're right. We don't know.
True.
There's a lot we don't know.
Yeah,
there is a lot.
Let me just say this: that was a mistake that Obama made, and that really bothered me a lot about the
Crimea.
I still love the guy. I think he was a great president, but nobody's perfect, and that was a mistake that he made. So.
And then the former president of Ukraine was just a Putin puppet, and they ousted him finally. But then Putin decided that he could just walk over the Ukraine. I don't know how he did it. I really don't.
Yeah, and I do question our own military. I know this is a touchy one, but it's like they can only go so far. I don't know. I was ready for them to go right in and take care of help Ukraine as best.
Oh, and you got the old boots on the ground. We would have started World War III if we'd done that.
I don't know, man. I think Putin is that dangerous.
He's very dangerous.
We've let him do this for how many years now? How long is this?
Trump says he'll end the war the first day he's in office.
Well, see, that's that bluster.
Do you have any idea what his plan might be other than to give in to Putin? That's the only way.
I don't believe he will.
No.
I think that we have shown on an international level that we're weak. Okay. Our international policies are showing that we won't stand up to it. I've been pleased that they have with the Iranian attacks on Israel. Mm-hmm. That we did go in to stop that.
Yeah.
Agree 100%.
Okay. I thought that was completely appropriate to do that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, you know, what I'm concerned with too is the China and North Korea.
Oh,
they're a huge problem.
Yeah. Are you concerned with North Korea attacking us? Or
I think they're more dangerous than China.
When they keep saying he has a missile that will read Oregon, so what? There's no way in the world he can shoot that missile. There's no way in the world that North Korea could attack us.
Wait. Why? Why shouldn't he?
Because they're one of the poorest countries in the world. And as Trump said, we have newer, shinier buttons. I mean, the country could be vaporized overnight, practically. They have no ability to sustain any kind of war. They can't even feed their own people.
Well, I know that.
He's blustering like that because now he gets the president of the United States to come visit him, and he's just a little pissant. He's nothing at all. And then he cons Trump into thinking, well, I've done away with my nuclear weapons things by blowing up an old facility, and in fact, he's bigger now than he ever was.
Well,
Trump is saying he's a strong leader, and we're friends.
All right, I don't know enough about this topic to even discuss it. Well, so I'm going to shut up.
China's a big danger.
My son was just in South Korea talking with the president a couple of weeks ago.
President of South Korea?
Yes, and also in Taiwan. He was the one that did the trade agreements, and he's an international attorney, so he has those opportunities to discuss these things.
You have great insight in all of that.
For sure. Yeah. I'm impressed.
So there are those things, but you know, the real issue, though, that we need to look at is, okay, yeah, we have these dangers from different areas, but how are we going to save our problems and our devices? How are we going to start talking to each other?
Yeah.
That's right.
The real key is, how are we going to start doing it here?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If we would get rid of some of the radical Republicans that are ridiculous.
Now wait.
What radical left? Show me a radical left.
You can take a look at Humboldt right now.
Right.
That's part of the radical left. AOC is part of that radical left.
Politics, but
you have those. But that's not, you know, you're always going to have those radicals.
Yes.
I don't care whether you're left or right. You're always going to have them. What we need to do is get the people in between to talk to each other and discuss it, and then elect those people that will start working for the people and not for themselves.
True, and
we have a minute and a half, so everybody start wrapping up.
Okay, I'm going to wrap up with the reason we got here. In my opinion, the reason is that we have all become clickbait on social media to listen to the only one side of an issue, and if we click on something, we'll get the same thing. If you feed on something radical, you're going to regurgitate radical. And that's what has happened to each side. And they've been feeding on the clickbaits that come into their side. And they don't hear anything else.
Right. And I disagree, Mike, in a way. Yeah, there's radicals on both sides. I think it's apples and oranges with the radical right, with the Proud Boys and the whole thing in January 6th. But that's my opinion. But I do want to thank you again for coming into we're not the enemy territory.
No.
But you're the first one that was able to come in and join us, and I hope you join us again. I'd love to.
We're 30 seconds left, and we didn't even touch this topic, really.
Well,
there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, should have another show.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
And thank you for being here, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Not a problem. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Okay, great.
I do it because I go against the grain a lot of things. And one thing you'll be hearing, too, is I don't like the turbines out on our ocean either.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's another show.
That's another show. And the jury is definitely out on that.
We're wrapping up.
Okay.
Adios.
Tune in next time.
Next week. KCIW.
Next week.